Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of the Deen Show. My name is Deen. Deen is a way of life, Islam, which we try to help the people understand, clearing the misconceptions. Thank you very much for coming to the source to learn about Islam and Muslims. Now, today, we're going to be talking about the last and final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. You've heard of Moses, you've heard of Jesus, peace be upon both of them, and other messengers that came. But this is the last and final messenger. He hasn't just been sent to the Arab living in Mecca. He's been sent for the whole of mankind. We're going to be talking a little bit about his life so you can get familiar with him. You've heard about the testimony of faith. We've talked about this in our other shows, which is that one bears witness that there is nothing, there's only one God. He is the only one worthy of worship. And that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his messenger. This is what brings someone into Islam. But you got to get to know this man. So we're going to give you a little bit of some highlights of his life. We have a special guest, Saeed. And when I get back, I'll tell you his last name. Sit tight. You're going to read about him. And we're going to bring you back here on the Deen Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi.
Sayyid Rage, Sheikh right. Sayyid Rage.
Right.
Did I say it right?
Right, you're saying right.
Thank you very much for being with us on the Deen Show. We really try to help educate the non-Muslims on Islam, and we thank you for being with us. We want to talk about, there's a lot of misconceptions about this last and final messenger. Some people have never heard of him. They're going to hear about him today. We're going to start off, if you can help us, God willing, about him, his life even before prophethood. Let's start from there. Who he was, where he was born, and from there we'll go.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salatu wa salam. Number one, I am very excited being here, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for hosting me. And I think this is one of the most exciting episodes you would have. Why? Because everybody knows about God, but they don't really know about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can ask and say to a non-Muslim, who is God, or what is God, and where is God, and they can tell you a lot of information about. But as soon as you ask him, who is Muhammad, you say, who is he? We don't know much about him. So today, inshallah, we will go over that a little bit, and we'll talk about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will explain to the people what this man did for the ummah, or we say for all mankind, humanity. And inshallah we'll go over this. Well, before Islam, you're asking about before he became a prophet of God. See, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a child, as before he was born, he lost his father. So he was an orphan and his mother raised him. But 2 years after that, he was giving away to a desert people, because there was the custom of the Arab to send their children outside the city environment so they can learn about the language, they can learn about the culture, so they can come back to the city and be strong physically and mentally and so on. And then shortly after that, his mother passed away. And his father, also as we know, he passed away. Then his grandfather took the custody of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it was not long enough. Shortly after that, he died. He passed away also. His uncle, Abu Talib, is the one who raised him from 8 years old until the uncle died, Muhammad reached the age of 40. He was there for him to support. Now, as a young man, he was a very quiet kid. Very intelligent, very smart. He would not engage with nonsense things that the other kids do. He would behave, he would carry himself in a very manner, very acceptable and a well-behaved child may do. And then everybody in the city, they loved him. Why? Because he was always eager to help. He was always there for the people who are in need. He was always trying to do something for the community. Being a member of the community, being a member that is active, that is doing something to improve the lifestyle of the people in that area. Then when he was 14 years old, his uncle took him for a business trip to show him how he should do business, because it is very important for life, or for the Muslims, or for the young people especially, to depend on themselves. They should not rely on their parents all the time. They should not rely on the system, but they should go out and be independent and be someone that can contribute something to the community. And then after that, when he was by the age of 25, he married a woman who was older than him by the name Khadija bint Khuwaylid. And she was a very wealthy, well-respected lady. Now, keep in mind, at that time, women were not respected at all. You know, men would go, and as soon as he was announced that his wife had a baby girl, they would go and bury her alive. But this woman was well respected in the community of the city of Mecca. And after that, he became, surely 15 years or after that, he became a prophet of Allah.
Can we just rewind just for a second? Can you give us, were there any signs, anything before prophethood while he was a child? Were there any incidences that were unique?
Absolutely. There were so many incidents. When he was around 8 years old, still living in the desert, and this is what everybody needs to, you know, do that little mental, you know, image in your head and see a little child with his brother, another brother that he was with him in the desert taking care of sheep, and all of a sudden these two men come out of no place, out of nowhere. They're all wearing white. They look very unfamiliar. They don't look like travelers. They're not familiar with. And what did they do as soon as they got to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a child? One of the men said, "Is this the kid?" And the other one said, "This is the kid that we're looking for." So they grabbed him and they put him down and they cut his chest open. Now when his siblings saw that, when his brothers saw that, he had to run and get help. But meanwhile, what they did, they opened his chest while he's still alive, he's still looking, he can relate to that story, and he related that story to us later. And he said, "This is what they did. They took my heart out of my chest, and they washed it with the special water that they had. And they took something dark out of my chest, and they said, well, this is the share of shaitan in this young man. He's shaitan, our devil has no share in the life of this young man." And then, by the time the other kid came back with help, Muhammad was standing, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, standing there, his chest being, you know, stitched back, and he was still used to show the sahaba, the companion, and he said, "Look, this is the mark of that incident."
He had that scar.
Oh, he had that scar. He did.
Now, were these angels? What were
this was angel Jibreel, and angel is Mikael. Two angels.
In English, Jibreel, would we say Gabriel?
Gabriel.
That was the same angel
right.
That would come to the
and
other.
The other angel was Michael.
Michael.
Right.
Okay, so from that was one incident. Now we come and continue on. Were there, before his, leading up to his prophethood, how was he amongst his people? What was he known as, his character?
This man, even as being a young man, you know, in Mecca, there was a place, a house, that was known, Dar al-Nadwa. This place, if you're not 40 and over, you cannot have a membership for that house, or to that club. But Muhammad was giving this because he was very mature, was loved by everyone, people trusted him.
Everyone loved him.
Everybody loved him.
This is documented.
This is a document, and he used to call him Al-Amin.
Which means?
You know, the trustworthy. The man that everybody would trust. They want to travel, and they have something that they want to keep, and they are afraid that they may lose, they will take it to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that continued even after he became prophet. And they were fighting him. They were still saying, well, we cannot trust anyone but this man. They will go and take this stuff there to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the other incident that is worthy of mentioning here is when there was a flood at the time, in one of those days, and the Kaaba, what we call, which is the house of Allah, in the city of Mecca, was destroyed. So the people of Quraysh said, "Let us rebuild the house of Allah and allow the people to come."
That was the first house built by Abraham?
That was the first house built by Abraham. And by the way, for the non-Muslims who do not know this, everything that we do, almost everything that we do when we go for pilgrimage is commemoration what Prophet Abraham did.
Yeah.
You know, we did not introduce anything to what he did. When we go around the house, that's what he did. When we move, we travel between the two mountains, Safa and Marwa, that's what he did. When we drink from the well, Zamzam, that's what he did, and so on. But the point is, when they were building the Kaaba, there was this rock that Abraham was giving to from Allah, from the heavens. And that remains still in that place, and he's still in Mecca. And then all the chiefs of the Quraysh were fighting over who is going to place this rock in the place of the Kaaba, which we call Rukn al-Yamani. And they were about to fight and kill one another concerning this. And then one of them said, "Listen, if we continue arguing with this, we will not go anywhere. So the first man who walks through that door, we will accept his judgment." And Muhammad was the first man who would walk, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everybody said, "This is the Amin, Al-Amin, Al-Amin, we trust him, he's a trustworthy." And then sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "What is the problem?" And they said, well, this is the issue that we have, Deen. And then he said, well, it is very easy, very simple, because he was very intelligent. Very, very intelligent man. He was a man that was built to lead, not to follow. He was a man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created to be a role model for all mankind. So he said, it's very easy. And he took all his overgarment and he said, well, you, everybody place the rock right here. And they did. And he said, well, all the chiefs of the tribe grab this and let us carry it and let's lift it. And when they reach a certain level, he said, and now I'll place it where it should be placed. And everybody was like, that is what we were looking for.
So all the tribes that were fighting, they all grabbed this cloth and they all, so he smoothed this out.
Oh, yes. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yeah, so when he's saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is wishing peace and blessings on the last and final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, who sent for the whole of mankind. We talked about, we're giving you glimpses of his life, so you can, from here, see who this man was somewhat, and then you can continue on investigating on your own, because he is indeed a messenger for you to follow, your father to follow, your uncle to follow, your whole family to follow. So we're going to go on from here, talking about, we discussed, and there are many more incidences, and we're just giving you a few. Before he was an adult, we talked about that one unique situation as a child, but there's many more, but we don't have time to go into those. We talked about before his prophethood, he was known as the Truthful. Now, I've heard different nicknames. You know, this is Knuckles, this is No Neck Ghazali, this is all sorts of crazy names. But I have not ever met a man, this is the Truthful, especially today's society. You know, people are lying, deceiving, cheating, but even amongst his enemies later who became his enemies, who actually love him, they call him the Truthful. That we learned that. Now let's go about the revelation, how it came, when it came. Let's talk about this and what happened. How it came, when it came. Let's talk about this and what happened.
Again, it is in a nutshell. We will put this in a very concise way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is, by the way, we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, peace be upon him. It is not only for Muhammad, but we say that also for Jesus. We say that for Moses. We say that for all the prophets of God, because all of them to us are on the same level. We believe in all of them.
Yeah.
But at this moment, he realized that living in that society, which means women do not have any rights, which means, you know, if you're not Arab or if you're not from Makkah, people will not respect you. If you're a servant, people will treat you differently. If you're a different color, people will not treat you the way they would treat other people. He realized this is not a life that a man should live. So what he used to do, and he also used to dislike the idea, a man who would go kill his own child.
They were doing this.
They would do this. As a matter of fact, they would go on a mount, would say, God, if you give me this number of children, I will sacrifice one of them for your sake. And he will bring that child to the city in front of their idols, and everybody is watching, and he will slaughter that child.
This is psychopathic.
Exactly. But people thought that this is we're doing for God. People thought that this is good. This man is so righteous that he sacrificed his own son. So Muhammad said, this is not acceptable. So what he did, he withdrew himself, and he used to do this once a year. And he used to go, leave the city, leave the people, and used to go out in a place in a mountain called Ghar Hira. And he used to stay there for a whole month, just contemplating, thinking about how this creation came about. Who is the true creator behind this? What is happening? What would happen to us after we die? Are we here for a purpose? Is there a purpose for our, you know, for our existence? Is there a purpose for us doing this? Is this man is treating or mistreating other people? Is he going to be judged? You know, all this was in his head. And this is how Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is how he used to contemplate before he received the revelation. And Khadija, and this, look, this was very unusual. Men used to say to their wives, I am growing, are you not following me? That's it.
Yeah.
But Rasulullah said, no, she's my wife, she's the one that I trust, she's the one who knows my secrets. I honor her, I respect her, therefore she has to come with me. But she used to stay a little bit away from where he's contemplating, is, you know, meditating, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then, one of those days, he used to stay in a little cave that can only fit one or two people maximum.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, one of those days, he sees this man out of the blue, as they say, out of nowhere, standing in front of him.
And he's talking in a very powerful, you know, authoritative tone, and he's saying, اقرأ, read. And Rasulullah, number one, he's shocked. I mean, there was no introduction. He was not, the man is climbing up to the mountain. I could feel, I can hear him. No, this man just appears right in front of him. And then he says, read. Knowing that Muhammad cannot read or write. And by the way, in Arabic, when we say اقرأ, they translate most of the time read. But it can also translate mean recite.
Recite.
Right. So when you say, if you have a few moments, a poem, and you say, I will not say to you, you know, only recite in Arabic. I will say اقرأ, you know, say. So اقرأ means recite or read. So he said, read. I said, what should I read? And then he grabbed him. Now imagine a stranger coming to you, grabbing you, squeezing you so hard. And he said, I felt my chest bones crossing. I mean, they were so painful. And then he released me. And he said, read. And I was instead of shocked. Read what? And then he grabbed me for the second time. And he did the same thing. And I said, read what? And he pushed and he grabbed me. Until the third time he said, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord. And that was the first ayah, the first verse that was revealed. But also this ayah contains so many benefits, indicates so many things. Because when he says اقرأ, means to read. You know, later you will learn that was the beginning of civilization. Beginning of the people have to learn how to read and write. Because without you being able to read or write, you cannot really go far. So this ayah, when Allah said, اقرأ, read, the first ayah was indication that this ummah will be ummah that will be civilized. This nation will be a nation that will be civilized. And this people and the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now after that, you know, look, again, keep in mind, you're talking about a Bedouin. You're talking about people who do not respect women. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He ran to his wife. He ran to his wife. A lot of people will say, no. I will not go to my wife. I will go to my uncle Abu Talib. Or I will go to my, you know, uncle Hamza. I will go and seek the protection of someone that is strong. But no, he went to his wife. Because that is the relationship between husband and wife. This is the relation, this is the feeling. That's why Allah said, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةُ وَرَحْمَةُ. And Allah placed between you and her a mercy and compassion. So when you feel down, you should go to your wife. When you feel that, you know, everybody's against you, you had a hard, difficult day, you should do like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you should go to your wife.
So now, he went to his wife, and this was when the revelation first came. Now, you had people, we talked about before this, who loved him. They called him the trustworthy. Now he's coming with a message. Tell us what this message was. What did the Creator, God Almighty, Allah, want him to do? And how did the people's perception of him change because of this message?
Now, he stayed in that situation. He came back to Khadijah. He's nervous, he doesn't know what is happening, you know. She calmed him down, she says, no, Allah will never disgrace you, you do this, you're such a wonderful man. Allah will never disgrace you, so do not worry. Now he stayed in that state, calling people secretly for 3 years. So the first one who accepted Islam was his wife. And that's why in Islam again, and I know this show is not about the rights of women, but in Islam we respect women because they were the first being to accept.
Yeah.
The first person who accepted Islam was a female, Khadija. And as you know, the first person who died for Islam was also Umar ibn Saybah. So we always respect the women and we put them in a higher. A lot of people do not understand. But for three years, he started calling people to Allah. And he's telling them, worship one unique God. It's not he. It is not she. And by the way, the reason that we say he in the Quran translation, because in English we have it, and we have she, and we have he. But in Arabic we only have he and she. We don't have it. Therefore, since God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not a human, and it cannot be, you know, he or she, it can only be it, then the people say, well, it in Arabic it sounds very disrespectful. So they said, Huwa, he. So that's how we translate and we say Huwa, it means He, but they, we cannot say God has gender.
No gender.
It's no gender. It's not male, it's not female, it's not white, it's not a human, it's not in us, it's not with us, it's above His creation. And this is, now in this way He was calling people, His friends, servant accept Islam, His friends accept Islam, and then later He came out to the people when Allah said, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ, He said, go and warn your people. He was giving a direct command from Allah, and then He came out. And He stood on the mountain called Safa, a small mountain. And He said, Ya ma'ashar of Quraysh, all the people of Quraysh. And everybody came. And He told them, this is what He told them, if I tell you there are enemy army behind that mountain marching towards this city to destroy you, would you believe me? And they said, of course, you never told a lie. He said, well, I am the messenger of Allah, and I'm warning you from what you do not know about. And then here, some of the people rejected. Some of the people said, wow. Some of the people just said, no. We will stick to our forefather. He's the first person who was rejected was Abu Lahab. He said, tabban lak, woe to you. Is this what you gather us today here? So this is from there on, his followers start growing, growing, and growing. And then the Quraysh, they kill some of them, they torture some of them, like Bilal, Ammar.
They were persecuting the Muslims.
All the Muslims. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let us move out.
They migrated?
They migrated to the city of Medina.
Yeah. So this is unique that he came with a simple message to leave all the idol worship, worshiping statues, men, worshiping the creation, and just worship this unique God, the one God.
Yep.
And now these people who loved him, because of this, they started to have a resentment towards him?
Well, they did not really. They were not against him.
The message.
Allah, they were against the message. And when Abu Sufyan, the head of the Quraysh, when he learned that Muhammad married his daughter, he said, that is such a wonderful man.
And after some time, because people, is it true, they were used to their customs, but after they would, many of them, the intellectuals, they found that this can't be from no man. This is from
absolutely.
The... Even they started to come to Islam.
Absolutely. Especially the younger people and the people who were educated. And the people who were open, they were open-minded. They said, well, you know, the man is not telling us anything that is unusual, something that your mind or you will reject it. It's very basic. Worship one God, be a decent person, be able to live with other people. And this is the message of Muhammad and the message of all the prophets sallallahu alaihi wasallam before him.
He didn't bring no new message.
Nothing new.
It was the same message.
The same worship one unique God.
That's what.
I wish if you can interview my friend, good friend Tony, mm-hmm. who accepted Islam because initially he wants to guide Muslims to Christianity.
Yeah.
And he thought, you know, they must worship a little black house in the middle of the desert. They worship a man by the name Muhammad. They worship a rock. And then he came to the conclusion. And then he sent me the material. I gave him the shahada. And then, you know, alhamdulillah, he has a website. Now he is telling us from the Bible, from a different... He's telling us the Christians should pray like Muslims. They should not pray like this. They should go knee down and pray like we pray. He is proving from their document that Muslims and the Christians should and the Jews should make wudu ablution like we do. So everything that we do is not new. It's something that other prophets did and other prophets were preaching.
And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed to who himself? He prayed to God. This is in the Bible.
Yeah.
How we make ablution is in the Bible. Worshipping, submitting your will to the will of the Creator is in the Bible. It's all there. So tell us briefly, where is for someone who wants to go deeper into this, because this was really short, just giving us some highlights, what's a good book that somebody can read to study more about his history and his legacy?
Well, there are a lot of books. Are we, if we're talking about
something authentic?
Something authentic. I think the book, Rahiq al-Makhtum, the
Sealed Nectar?
Sealed Nectar. That would be the best book.
The Sealed Nectar.
The Sealed Nectar. That is the best book that I will recommend anyone to read, because it gives you all the, you know, authentic material, and it gives you, you know, tells you from A to Z and everything that you need. So that would be a good book if you want to know about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Just some closing comments, advice for those who've had Now we hope that many people had an open mind, you know, were sincere. But some people, you know what, they've been misguided by some people misrepresenting Islam. You have some false perceptions due to the media. What do you have to say to them?
I would say to those people, do not rely on anything but yourself, after your Creator. Be open-minded. Read what you need to read. Let me tell you a very short story. I hope we have enough time. I never told this anyone before. When I came here, I really did not know much about Islam. And I went to Catholic school. And in the Catholic school, I was like, why do I have to be a Muslim? I mean, I was born as a Muslim, but why do I have to be a Muslim? Can I not be a Jew, a Christian, or even atheist? So I went out and I said, let me explore all other religions that exist. So I read as much as I could and I learned about them. But when at the end of the day, the only thing that really made sense was Islam, because it was very basic, very simple. Now, what we want for the people to do for the last minute is be open-minded, use your mind, forget about everything that you learned about Islam, forget about what other media said about Islam. Just go, and if you want to know about Islam, don't ask anyone but Muslims. Don't go to non-Muslims, but go to Muslims, and they will tell you about Islam.
JazakAllah khair. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to you. Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you, brother. And I'd like to thank you for sitting in through another episode of The Deen Show, for coming to the source. This man was the last and final messenger to mankind. No more messengers to come. He's a role model for you, for me, for everybody. If we stop taking the celebrities as role models and take God's messenger as a role model, we will be better off. But it's up to you. The message is there. It's simple. It's unique. Worship God alone and not His creation. Ponder over this. Think about it. And come back and visit us often every week here at thedeenshow.com. thedeenshow.com. All of our shows on the website if you miss us on the TV in Chicago. Until next time, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.